Good morning and welcome. Hopefully, everyone had a good Thanksgiving, because this time of year, it always provides us with the opportunity to reflect back upon the past year and to remember all that we are thankful for in our lives. This past Thanksgiving, during dinner time, my children continued our tradition of stating what they were thankful for. Unfortunately, when it came around to my turn, the response I had given, well, basically, it made my kids roll their eyes at me. Granted, there is much that I am thankful for. However, this Thanksgiving, I was more focused on what I was not thankful for. Or simply put, as I had told my kids, I wasn't thankful for an upside-down turkey. You heard it correctly. Somehow, our turkey wound up being upside down on a platter. We're not sure how it happened, and this is by no means a commentary on my wife's cooking either, especially since it was I who had helped put the turkey in the pan and then later transferred it onto the platter. So really, it's more a comment on my cooking, I guess, than hers. Granted, I did think that there was something that didn't quite look right with the turkey, but my wife Sarah assured me that it not only looked great, but that it also tasted delicious as she was sampling a little bit here and there. Nonetheless, I still thought there was something odd about this turkey. It wasn't until I started to carve into it that I began to realize that for a 16-pound turkey, there sure wasn't a whole lot of meat on this bird. It's because all of it was on the bottom side. And that's when we realized that this turkey was upside down and had been upside down all morning long in the oven. Now, there are some cooks out there who probably will frown upon the idea of cooking a turkey face down. But thankfully, our unexpected surprise, it turned out quite delicious, if I do say so myself. So in the end, maybe I was actually thankful for the turkey being upside down. An unexpected surprise. This is what we hear Jesus teaching his disciples with regards to what it will be like at the end of time when Jesus returns, in what is also referred to as his second coming. This may seem like an odd teaching for this time of year, considering the fact that this weekend marks the beginning of a new liturgical year, with the commencement of the Advent season, a season in which so much of the focus tends to be upon preparing ourselves and our homes for the birth of our Lord on Christmas Day. And yet, the Catechism of the Church teaches us that the Advent season is not only a time for us to prepare ourselves for our Savior's birth, but it is also a time for us to renew our desire for his second coming. St. Paul teaches us that in preparing ourselves for the second coming of our Lord, that we should awaken from sleep. The word sleep is recognized as being an analogy for death. Death, which entered into this world by the sin of Adam. St. Paul further instructs us to throw off the works of darkness, to put on the armor of light, and to conduct ourselves properly as in the day. St. Paul encourages us to avoid giving in to the slumber of sleep, or rather, the darkness of sin, and instead for us to put on Christ by living as reflections of the light of Christ. Jesus too encourages us to stay awake, to avoid giving in to sin, because none of us knows when the hour of Christ's return will take place. Jesus gives us several examples to illustrate this point, beginning with the story of the great flood that had occurred during the time of Noah. In a book of Genesis, we are told that the great flood had taken place due to the sinfulness of the people. Only Noah and his family were spared from the punishment inflicted by that flood. Noah was instructed by God to build an ark, which was to carry his family along with two of every type of animal. It wasn't until the doors of the ark were closed that the rain began to fall, resulting in a whole world being covered up by water. While Noah, his family, and the animals were kept safe from harm within the ark as it floated along for several months. This is the event that Jesus gives us to illustrate his teachings about his second coming. Notice that when Jesus recalls the great flood, he does not focus upon the sins of the people, but rather on the unexpected surprise of the flood upon their lives. With the exception of Noah, who was hard at work building the ark in accordance to God's command, the rest of society continued to live their lives as usual. None of them were prepared for what was about to occur in their lives. So too will it be like at the end of time when Jesus returns. It will occur whether we expect it or not. Our Lord's teaching about his second coming serves as a warning to all of us to be prepared. It doesn't mean that we stop living our lives, but rather that we should continue to live our lives with our hearts committed and focused upon Jesus. This then, in a certain way, is the meaning behind the next series of examples that Jesus gives us in Scripture. Regarding the images of two men working in the fields and of the two women working in the mill, one of them will be taken, while the other will remain. Notice how Jesus doesn't say that the one who is taken is rewarded with the gift of heaven. Instead, he just states that one will be taken and one will not. Notice also the external similarities between the two men in a field. Both of them appear to be doing the same thing. They are probably even dressed alike, along with using the same types of tools and maybe even growing the same type of crops. The same can be said for the two women working at the mill. They too probably appear the same on the outside. And yet, for all the similarities that exist on the exteriors of the men in the field and of the women at the mill, there is something obviously different about them that would result in them being separated. The difference can only be found within each one of them with regards to how well they have prepared their hearts for the coming of the Lord. The Jubilee Year Mercy ended with the image of Pope Francis closing the doors of mercy in Rome. However, that does not mean that the doors of the confessional have been closed off to us. God's merciful love can still be experienced and received within the confessional. It is through the sacrament of reconciliation that we will be able to prepare our hearts for the gift of Jesus, both at the time of his birth and of his second coming. Because, regardless if we experience his second coming at the time when this world ends or when our time on earth has come to an end, the fact still remains true that all of us will eventually one day witness his return before our eyes. The questions for us to consider then this Advent season are whether or not we will be found ready, and if it will be an unexpected, pleasant surprise.